Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone 6 Plus, and I can see that we are down to 14 days to go until we head down for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend. We'll be hitting the road, heading south, and having a great time with friends and running down at Walt Disney World. And you can get excited for your next trip with Days to Go WDW. Also, don't forget about the free app, Theme Park News Disney Edition. This is a great way to keep up with everything going on at the Disney theme parks, both official and unofficial. And like I said, it's a free app on virtualmickey.com. Drop by today.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 926 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you. As always, we don't say it enough, thank you so much for downloading the podcast, for spreading the love of the BOGP wherever you go, and for just being a part of this great family. And we're going to take your questions, comments, and mini trip reports today, talk about them here on the show for a midweek break, and have a good time talking Disney. That's just what we do here on the show. Also wanted to send a huge thank you again to Mr. Mike Bankhead, who put together another gigantic order of Lizard running shirts right in time for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend. I received mine earlier this week, and they look great. They are awesome. Again, thanks to Keith, for, as always, for the great art. He keeps us looking awesome, both in the parks and online. Couldn't do this without friends of the show, always picking up the slack and taking care of everybody. Jocelyn's helping with the Bondi bands right now. It's amazing. So thank you to everybody who's a part of the family. And let's get the ladies introduced so we can talk some Disney. First of all, joining me today from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and TheMouseForLess.com, where you got to check that out today. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Absolutely. Go check out The Mouse for Less. Go check out Magically Speaking too, because there's going to be an issue coming out this week. So yeah, got lots going on.
I know. It's like Disney's, you know, they don't want you to sleep. They want to make sure that you
trust me, they do not want me to sleep. I'm constantly going, okay, well, looks like I'm writing an article today.
Well, you know, we do record these 5 minutes before you hit play on your iPhone or Correct. Whatever you're listening. So it's almost live. I mean, we're as close to live as you can get. But Absolutely. As we're actually talking, we got to make sure we get this show done because Monday Night Football has never been bigger than this week. It's Monday right. night Star Wars football, so we got to get through these questions fast.
We do.
Wednesday night football.
That's right, Wednesday night football.
Wednesday night football, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Not that we record on Monday nights at all, no. I can't say it. I saw the Star Wars preview live, so I don't think that happened, but...
Well, how about Darth Vader quarterbacking the New York Giants tonight?
Yeah, that was a surprise. I got to tell you, I didn't think that would happen, but cool beans. Way to go, Darth Vader.
That's it. All right. Also joining us for
making... that actually happened tonight, I swear.
I know, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? We called it. We're ahead of the thing. Anyway.
We're like Back to the Future. Oh, wait, today's Back to the Future
It
day.
Is. Oh, it is. Good, you got it in there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I totally just...
It's October 21st, 2015.
I'm so excited about today being Back to the Future Day. I'm totally watching Back to the Future tonight. Not going to lie. I really kind of wanted to go to the theaters to watch it, but I don't think it worked out. So.
And I'm going to make a bold prediction that the Cubs are down 0-3 by now. I'm hoping.
Yeah. No, I don't know. But yeah, it's Back to the Future Day. Okay, yes. Sorry.
All right. And as I was saying, on our hoverboard down in the wonderful state of Florida, we have Debbie. Welcome to the future, Deb. What's up?
Well, thank you very much.
How's the hoverboard going, Debbie? Are you getting the hang of it?
It's pretty darn nice. I've got myself wrapped in bubble wrap, so I won't hurt anything. But
so smart, yeah.
Yes, very smart. Absolutely. But yeah, doing great. And I know this doesn't seem like a lot to you guys, but, you know, I'm a very close with my family kind of gal. And, you know, as y'all know, I live in Florida. My family lives in Texas. But it's so cool. My dad got a computer a while back. And, you know, it's just there were so many things to set up. And the one thing we made sure is that we actually set up to Skype, and I got to see Dad on the computer. And honestly, guys, I cried because it was just so cool because, you know, I missed my dad and my sister, and it is just so cool to be able to physically see him. I feel like I'm right there with him, and it's just, it was just really a really good week for that. So, yeah.
Technology's awesome.
It is.
It is. I know.
All right, and in the midst of the biggest, well, the second biggest construction remodeling project ever.
The first biggest, the second.
At least in the history of Pittsburgh. We have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Wednesday, Pam.
I wish that were so. We're really only having a few things done. It was like the two-week project that's taking a month and a half.
Of course. Don't you know that is how those projects work, Pam?
Like, I know.
It's going to take a really quick, you're going to be done? No.
That was what, that's, you know what makes it really hard is because I work from home. And although I have an office, I can hear it all going on. And even though like the bulk of my house is still unaffected by this, just knowing that there are rooms that are completely ripped up makes my brain not work right. Like, I swear to God, because all I can think about is, oh my God, I know that that room upstairs is a disaster.
Well, it's awful. So,
anyways, thank goodness it's the guest bathroom. Oh. And then a few small things in the kitchen. Oh my gosh. But I'm going to make it through this. Please.
Please let it break through this.
Yes. I mean, I know that there are plenty of horrible, horrible things going on in the world, but if you have a extra prayer, slide one in for me, and I just mentally make it through this.
My wife.
Those aren't easy either, because I mean, you there are so many little details. It's just like, just pick a faucet. You know?
Can I get a hashtag, please?
The hashtag for today's episode is
just pick a faucet.
That's it. All right, let's get to the listener questions. That's why everybody's here and everybody's downloaded the podcast. So let's start off with Phil Shows, and he says, hey, guys, first one to say I love your show, and I appreciate you all for providing a positive and insightful glimpse of all things Disney. My wife and I have been going to Disney World for the past 8 years. We spent our honeymoon there and have traveled back many times since. I am confident we helped pay for one of the new restrooms at the Fantasyland expansion.
I love it.
At least if you put us all together as a podcast family, we definitely took care of the tangled toilets, I'm pretty
sure.
Anyway, we plan to make our next pilgrimage next June and are pondering which resort to stay at. We'll be traveling with our then 5-year-old son and 2-year-old little girl. The two resorts we are debating are Coronado Springs and Caribbean Beach. Through my research, I have discovered that both have large layouts and that Coronado Springs Resort is the only moderate convention hotel. It seems that Coronado Springs has more amenities and possibly better dining options, but the Caribbean Beach has a better pool and may be geared more towards small children. I request the panel to deliberate and provide their opinions on the best moderate resort between the two for small children. My wife and I have stayed at both the Port Orleans resorts, and they are great. However, we're wanting to experience a Disney resort we have yet to stay at. Thanks for everything you do, and keep the magic flowing. All right, first of all, good call. You can't make a bad choice, Caribbean Beach or Coronado Springs. I am going to, and we'll go around and kind of just, quickly give our pick and then why. And I would say Coronado Springs because you mentioned that the pool's better at Caribbean Beach. And I disagree with that. I think the pools are equal. Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs. Coronado Springs has just a more of an upscale feel to it for you, for the adults, the parents. It has Maya Grill, definitely an awesome, my favorite Walt Disney World restaurant. So the sit-down meals are better there. It has Pepper Market, which is better than the Coronado Springs food court. It's even got hot items at the pool, like little snacky kind of things. There's a kids area right next to the swimming pool there. It's called the Dig Site, where it's a sand area. The kids are swings and they can play in the sand. And like there's a little kind of a Mayan face they can crawl in and out of. Mallory loved it at this age, at about 5 years old. So I would say Coronado Springs gets it, in my opinion. So let's go to Pam. What do you think?
I'm going Coronado Springs too, Mike, because for many of the reasons that you mentioned, I do want to, you know, Caribbean Beach does have a fantastic pool, but I will say when my daughter was younger, one of the things she loved was the slide at Coronado. She loved that slide and the whole pool experience. In addition, you know, there are 3 other quiet pools too that you can swim in. So lots of pools to choose from. I love the restaurant choices. In addition to the ones that Mike mentions, you also have Las Ventanas is there for breakfast and lunch, which is a great spot to go to. And the lounge, and there's just so many options, I think, there. I also really think, although at times Coronado Springs, people say that it's too big of a resort. We have been in the furthest place you can be at Coronado Springs. I think it was actually impossible to be further from the main building that we were. But you know what? It wasn't a bad walk at all. And we loved doing it by the end of the trip. And you'd think, I don't know. But really, we did. It was just one of those things that we enjoyed the walk. And it was a great way to end the day or start the day. And I never found it too far. I really think it was like maybe a 5 to 10 minute walk, if that, from our location to the main building. And of course, there, there's a bridge that makes things seem a little closer and stuff like that. So I love Coronado Springs, and I think you will too, but you can't make a bad choice with either one.
I agree. And one of the things, as I was thinking about this, we were talking about the pools, that when Mallory was about 3, so kind of in between your kids' age, Caribbean Beach has one of those big, kind of like a Grand Floridian, the big buckets that dumps the water, scared Mallory out of her wits. She hated going around that part because when they're that little, it kind of freaks them out, that much water.
Yeah, so. A lot of water dumping.
True. Yeah, so I mean, that was kind of actually, even though it's kind of a positive for the older set, like maybe 7, 8-year-olds, I mean, you know, when they're a little bit younger, that could be, it was a negative, you know, she wouldn't go around that pool. So just something to think about. But I mean, like I said, either one's fine. So Debbie, what are your thoughts?
You know, okay, so beside the pools, y'all have made some very compelling arguments there. But one thing that I think would be kind of cool, I know they're, you know, they're little, but they should enjoy this. I don't care if they're girls or boys, I'll tell you. I think the Caribbean Beach and stay at one of the pirate rooms, because those are really kind of fun. I mean, even if you're a girl, you can enjoy something fun like that. So I say try one of those, and you've got the pools going for you. So even though I do like Coronado Springs, I think, yes, the food court is phenomenal. But if you want something really different, then I would try to stay where the pirate rooms. You got a barrel that has like a little refrigerator inside there. You've got the curtain that's really cool. Actually, I took pictures of the rolling thing up at the top because it kind of gave me an idea for my home. But it's, you pull the curtain and there's a big, you know, picture of the pirates sitting there. I mean, it's really kind of fun. The pirates, you have the little beds, so it's pretty cool.
And they're newly refurbished too, the pirate rooms over at Caribbean Beach.
They are. They're lovely. Absolutely. There's also one that you could just stay in our standard room, and it's got the little pull-down bed, which is even cool, too. But you got, I think that'd be better for the 2-year-old. But yeah, it's kind of cool, too.
All right, Ricky, final word, and going to the next question.
I have to agree with Caribbean Beach, or not Caribbean Beach, I'm sorry, Coronado Springs, because I don't think Caribbean Beach has a very good food court. I think that it leaves a lot to be desired, and that's really the only option you have for dining on site. So I think that, you know, well, it does have Shutters. That's right. But nobody ever thinks of Shutters.
No,
obviously.
Adam and Susie love Shutters.
Right. We ate there with them.
I've eaten there a couple times with them, and actually it's pretty good.
I need to add it to my list. See, I forget that it's there, so I need to add that one to my list. All right. So anyway, but I do know that Coronado has just, you know, so many great choices with the Pepper Market, and they've got, you know, Las Ventanas, and of course you've got, you know, Maya Grill. I just think that there's more options, and I don't think that, I know a lot of people freak out about the whole convention hotel thing, but really, I don't think that you notice that very much unless you're in the main lobby a lot, which you may be because you're getting food or stuff. But I mean, you're really not going to see them that much around the hotel, I don't think. So I don't know. Maybe I just ignore people in suits because I see it all the time anyway. But I just, I don't think it's that big of a deal. So I'm going to say Coronado.
Yeah, because we were always leaving for the parks early in the morning, getting back late at night. Or if we were there during the day, we were at the pool, and you don't see people like in a 3-piece suit, you know, jumping in the
right.
pool. You know, I mean, they're in swim
right, track. Exactly. So I think that a lot of it can be avoided. And they do have the convention area is off to one side, basically. So, I mean, it's down a hallway, if I remember correctly. So
they aren't going to really kidnap you and make you attend a meeting.
Right, exactly. Unless you, like, walk down that hallway, you're probably not even going to find, you know, you're not
going to. I've never heard of it happening.
No, that big hook that comes out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you'll be okay with that. I just know people freak out about it, and I don't think it's.
I know, like, they do. And I'm always like, what?
It's not as big of a problem as you think it's going to be, but.
You know, I've always employed the reverse psychology. Like, I see him and I'm like, I'm on vacation. I'm like, I'm on vacation and you have on a lanyard. Oh, man. Anyway. All right. Next question comes from Andrew Cannon. It says, Mike and gang, I've been a listener to your show since around episode number 500 or so. So thank you for the great show and please keep it up. I find the lack of good Disney podcasts, maybe I should say that I enjoy, to be disturbing. So I have taken to going back and listening to your old shows. I just have to say that show number 111B, I believe this was your first April Fool's show, was fantastic. It made me laugh all the way to work. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Anyways, want to let you know that even after all these years, I'm still getting a lot of value and laughs out of the old shows. One of my favorite comments on the number 111B was that it was your first and only Wednesday show. Anyways, and here we are. Actually, this Jim got this all going. My good friend Jim down in Huntsville, Jim Tucker. Anyways, I know you're extremely busy, so you don't have to reply to this, but I wanted to share this with you. Please let the ladies know as well that I'm still enjoying the older shows too. Have a great day, Andrew. And we appreciate that, Andrew, because, you know, we're kind of corny people and like to have fun with everybody. I mean, life should be fun, and that's what we do. And it is a reminder, though, that if you ever want to go back, if you ever catch up with, you know, almost 1,000 shows now, you know, well over 900, you can go back and re-listen to them. Just go to brguestpodcast.podbean.com and they're all there and you can download them or listen to them online. I know Andrew does that. So yeah, be ready. Whenever there's a B in the episode number or a letter, heads up. Just
heads up.
For our new listeners, just so you know.
Fair warning.
That's right. All right, next question or comment comes from Leslie Ann Daniels, and she's in Southern California. And she says, hello, Mike and the BOG team. I've been binge listening to some older episodes during my daily commutes and just got around to hearing about Ricky's trip with her grandma. I had to send a note because it is hands down my favorite podcast to date. I laughed, I cried, and I suddenly began looking forward to my next trip with an amazing attitude. Listening to Ricky talk about grandma and all the funny little things had me smiling in recognition. Hearing about how picky she was about her draft beer, the hamburger, no cheese, mustard, and onions, the ice cream on the way home, not riding Dumbo, all of it was so great to hear. Those moments, though they were frustrating at the time, are a large part of what makes the trip great. I was also happy to hear Ricky smiling, even though she was crying as she recounted those moments to us. While I was saddened to learn that Ricky's grandma had passed away, but I was touched that Ricky was able to spend that quality time with her and have amazing memories with her family in the short time before she passed. In 2 weeks, I'm traveling with the in-laws who will no doubt complain about the heat, the walking, and the crowds, but I'm glad to soak it all up in a way that I wouldn't have prior to hearing your story. My condolences over the passing of your dear grandmother. Thank you for sharing the good and the bad and encouraging us to make those memories now. Leslie in Southern California. So Ricky, I know I didn't tell you about that one, but I just wanted to let you know that that episode really did touch so many people, and I know your grandma's super proud of you.
Thank you guys, everyone. Thank you for that kind letter. Actually, this week is the week that my grandma passed. So, you know, it's been 1 year. So, you know, this isn't an easy week for us, but, you know, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you guys enjoyed that podcast episode. And you're right, it wasn't easy to do, but I am so glad that I was able to share. So, and I kind of want to go back and listen to it because I haven't listened to it since. I don't know that I could. Part of me wants to just to relive it again, but part of me knows that I couldn't. I don't think I could do it. Yeah. My mom actually wants to listen to it too, and she doesn't know that she could do it either. But yeah,
It's there when you're ready. You know,
it's there when I'm ready. I don't know that I'll ever be ready, but it's there if I need it.
You gotta have a draft Budweiser Bud Light. Is that what grandma liked? I think Bud Light.
Yes, grandma liked Bud Light. Yes. Yeah. I actually, this year I was actually at the store. I forget what it's called. It's like it's a home store, you know, where they sell a whole bunch of, you know, random, you know, house stuff. And, they had their Christmas stuff out earlier this year, and so they had a ornament, and it was a Bud Light can, and I bought it, and I'm going to put it on the tree this year in honor of Grandma, because you know, something that, you know, I haven't shared is that every year, you know, when my grandfather was alive, he would always buy her a 24-pack of Bud Light beer in cans.
And
she was always so surprised. I'm like, Grandma, you knew it. You had to know it was coming. I mean, he buys you a big, giant 24-pack of, you know, cube of beer every year for Christmas. It's not like it's a surprise. But, yeah, so anyway, I bought the ornament in honor of my grandmother, and it will be going on my tree this year. So
that's awesome. And just so everybody knows, yes, that's what we do in St. Louis. We cheer the Clydesdales, and we all get each other cubes of Bud Light for Christmas.
It was just my brother actually has done it before in the past too, after my grandfather passed away. So I think I've done it once or twice as well. So we all kind of kept the tradition alive of buying grandma a case of beer for Christmas.
Why do I hear Here Comes the King in the background? Do, do, do,
I don't know.
Do, 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 here comes the king. Do, 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 do.
So anyway. This letter is definitely very timely. So thank you so much for the kind words.
Yes, that's very sweet. All right. Next question. Or comment comes from Robbie Beal, and he says, hello, Mike and BOGP crew. First of all, thank you for the excellent podcast full of invaluable advice, insight, and positivity. Since discovering the Be Our Guest podcast, I haven't missed an episode. Well done. My wife and I are surprising our 7-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son with a trip to the world in November. We have the help of the with the help of the BOGP crew, our upcoming trip is coming together great. We were able to take advantage of free dining, which enabled us to upgrade from a value to moderate resort while still saving a ton. We were on DisneyWorld.com at exactly 6 a.m. at the 180-day mark and were able to get every ADR we wanted. Now, we are less than a month from being able to book our fast passes, and I'm starting to freak out a bit. Things are going a little too good, if you know what I mean. I want to ensure I'm prepared when entering the upcoming Fast Pass Battle Royale, and I'm turning to the BOGP podcast because of our successful trip preparation thus far has been awesome in large part because of you. That being said, I have 3 questions, and sorry that this is a little late. I'm sure you already have your fast passes, but let's play the game anyway. Number one, we may as well. What is the absolute earliest you can book your fast passes? Can we book at midnight on the 60th day, or do we have to wait until 6 a.m. as you do for ADRs? All right, so this one is probably one of the toughest questions to answer. You can at midnight, but sometimes it'll even roll over a couple minutes early, but it's usually midnight East. Pam, am I right on that? Because that's when I usually
do it. You are. They try. At one point, it was actually funnier because sometimes you can make them at midnight. Sometimes you can make them at 1. It had to actually do with extra magic hour, believe it or not.
Yeah, it did.
But they standardized that, and they have it all happen at midnight now. So, woo!
Standardized. Yeah. At least it's standardized now.
All right. Number two, I have a good idea of which fast pass I want to target, but fear I am overlooking opportunities my children would really enjoy. Is there a resource that lists all the rides, shows, and character meets that will offer the fast pass option? A list of all the options would really help with prep and prioritization. I can't believe you put those two back to back.
Would you like to try that again?
Listen to this. Prioritization prior to the 60th day mark.
Change the word.
Yeah, you can't put those two words back to back. Come on, I'm not that smart. I just pretend to be a podcaster. Ricky, is there like a definitive resource for everything to go to for fast passes?
You can always check out my blog because I have the pretty much everything guide to My Magic Plus and Fast Pass Plus. But if you don't want to check out my blog, I'm sure somewhere like Touring Plans would have that information as well. So, you know, either place is fine. But, you know, of course I want to toot my own blog's horn.
Toot toot. That's a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com.
That's right.
All right.
And the link is like, it's on the side and it's always listed as one of the most popular blogs. So you'll find it. It's got the green magic band. You'll see it. So.
All right. And the third question, how do fast passes work with rider swap? Do both parents have to use a fast pass when utilizing rider swap, or is the fast pass tied to the child for the second parent? The reason I'm asking is because our younger child will not be able to go on all the rides my older one will. If my older child and I booked fast passes on 3 rides with rider swap, and my wife and younger child booked fast passes for rides geared towards younger children, would my wife essentially get 6 fast passes, 3 of her fast passes, and 3 rider swaps using the older child's fast passes? Is this a fast pass loophole or just a bunch of incoherent rambling? Honestly, I'm kind of confusing myself typing this, so I hope I'm making sense. Again, thanks for all you do in making our Disney World trips more magical. Thanks so much, Robbie. All right, so Ricky, tackle this one too, because the rider swap thing, by the time I read it, I get all confused. I confuse myself.
Oh my gosh. You know, I think we just had somebody respond back to us about rider swap too, because we had another question. Pam, you may have to help me with this, but I believe that if you, because I don't know if you saw that response, I believe that if you do a fast pass, the other person does not need rider swap.
That is what our listeners did say, that you don't have to burn both. Like we correct. Said that you kind of said both people had to have them, and apparently our listeners said you do not.
I believe that is the case. So, yeah. So
I wonder if that will go on for forever, because I can see people taking advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's the nature of people.
But I think that was the way. It was that way with the other fast pass too. Like, I think that you could get fast passes for the, you know, half the people, and then the other half who'd be riding, you know, with the second time didn't need fast passes because they were getting the child swap thing. So, I mean, it's kind of been a loophole for a while, I guess. So I don't know. Now they can close it a little bit easier, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if they will. So, yeah. Take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I believe that is the way it actually does work now. Because I had watched after we had gotten the question, after we had received the question, I just made up a word there. I said gotten.
And there you go. It's fine. We gotten it.
We had gotten it. But anyways, after we had received that question, I actually paid a little more attention, because it's been a while since I've needed the child swap with someone. Yeah. And I did notice that the guest did not have to, the guest who was riding with didn't have to have one, but the first rider did and the second rider did. So Correct. Then the only thing that you would have left is the child, and then they would have to go, they would have an extra fast pass and would have to go ride an attraction by themselves. So anyways, that would be kind of odd. You know what I mean? Because that's like what you're saving in the deal. So anyways.
All right. Clear as mud, as always, here on the Be Our Guest podcast.
Absolutely.
That's our middle name,
right?
Clear as mud since 2008. We're the Be Our Guest podcast.
That needs to go on a t-shirt.
Yeah, it does.
Exactly. All right. Next question comes from Kevin Lynch and says, "Hi, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Deb. I have a quick question about the Disney Cruise Line. My wife and I are experienced Walt Disney World travelers. We were able to take our son this past May to Disney World for the first time at 5 months old. We are scheduled for our first Disney cruise next May. My question is about travel documents. We will be bringing our son with us, who will be almost 1.5 at the time of sailing. Do we need to get him a passport, or will his birth certificate be enough? We are sailing out of Port Canaveral on the Disney Dream for a 4-night cruise. Thank you for taking the time, and keep up the good work with the show. Kevin's in Syracuse, New York." All right, Pam, you know that I always sail. Don't do as I do. Do as I say, don't do as I do, as my dad used to say. I know I sail on a birth certificate. I don't have a passport, but
oh my gosh,
Pam Forrester is going to give the official word as far as how we should really do things.
Well, it depends on if it's a closed loop or an open loop cruise. But if you're just sailing, and where you're sailing to, by the way, if you're just sailing in the Bahamas, with you can do it, and leaving and arriving back in Port Canaveral, you'll be okay with just a birth certificate. But I really encourage people to get a birth certificate, and the reason being,
you mean
not
a passport?
A passport.
Birth certificates are good to have too.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
They are.
You
yeah.
need them all. But we always travel with both. And the reason why is not that you won't be able to get into maybe the other countries that you're visiting, but because getting back into the U.S., if there were an emergency and you had to be lifted from the ship and taken back into the country, or you... for instance, need to fly back from one of your ports that you were stopping at into the country for an emergency, the issue with your not having a passport would be so challenging, because if you were flying back into the country from the Caribbean or the Bahamas, you do have to have a passport. That's why I always, always, always recommend it. I mean, emergencies happen when you least expect them, right? That's
Pam,
the whole
I have a stupid
thing.
Question.
Emergency. Yeah.
I have a stupid question. Okay. So is there an age that, like, say you had an infant, is there an age where you, like, can't get them a passport, or how does that
work? No, you can get them a passport at any age. So.
At any, so like as soon as they're born, bam, passport done.
Well, yeah, you can. And the children's passports, actually expire faster than
Makes sense because they change. Yeah,
right, exactly. Then until you reach 18. But yes, if a passport is required for travel, it's required for all U.S. citizens, regardless of their age. So check with the type of cruise that you're going on too. That's again. The only ones you don't have to have a passport for are very limited. So it depends on your destination, where you're leaving from, where you're returning from, and where you're visiting. So
yeah, we're always on a closed loop, so I'm good there. I just plan on not getting sick and having any emergencies. I'm going to
plan on that.
You need to get a passport for the next one.
I'm the model of health. I'm not getting my gallbladder's in good shape as far as I know. My kidneys, everything. I don't know. I'm hoping. Anyway. Yeah.
An emergency is not something you can predict.
I know, just mess with you.
That is why it's called an emergency.
Well, this cruise, my appendix is going to bust, so I'm going to pay that extra money.
So but, they'll probably end up making some kind of exception to take you, but then poor Pam and Mallory and Paige will be stuck on the ship.
That's true.
And that's the part that I wouldn't want to have happen. To have like my husband or daughter be transported somewhere and have to deal with red tape in trying to make that happen for me, because I could kill somebody and then I would be in jail in a foreign country and things would be bad.
That would not go well. No,
that's definitely like a TLC special or something. You know?
It is. Yes, I don't. Yeah, I don't need that hashtag. Thank you.
No.
And I will.
You want to play you in the movie?
Free Pam. I don't need that to have happen.
I will say, though, that there is I've seen a lot of stories, though, about even domestic flight needing passports coming in 2016 in certain circumstances. So it might not be a bad idea for everybody to kind of pursue the passport idea, maybe.
Right. They aren't that expensive and they last for 10 years. So you're good.
All right. Yeah. Because, once you get to our age, you're just kind of an old curmudgeon who doesn't change. You're just get off my lawn. So you don't have to get one as often. Anyway, last question of the day comes from our good friend TJ Frey, who is a fellow lizard, and he has the shortest email of the day. It's awesome. Question to you and the gang. For New Year's Eve in Epcot, would you recommend driving to the park or relying on Disney transportation? Keep on running. TJ, there is no correct answer to this email because it is going to stink either way. Unless we had a show a couple of weeks ago. A Monday show where I had a guest talk about being at Epcot on New Year's Eve. They drove and they were back to their house in like 30 minutes. But it was one of those things where they kind of watched the midnight fireworks kind of on the outskirts of World Showcase Lagoon. They ran they ran like a 9 second, 50 yard dash after it all the way to the car. They kept a 8 minute mile pace going to get to their car, cut people off, got out of the parking lot. I have been there in my own car on New Year's Eve. And I mean, you're talking, if you're just in the middle of the crowd, it's probably 2 hours to just get out of the lot. It's a nut house. And then there's traffic everywhere. I mean, every road on property is jammed. But I mean, the buses are on those same roads and you might be waiting till the 17th bus if you don't hurry. I mean, Pam, you've been there many times on New Year's Eve. And I know you guys tend to like look at the beach club somewhere you can walk to because that is your best option. But I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if one's better than the other unless you just... I mean, the only advantage to be in your car is that you're sitting in your car rather than standing waiting for a bus for an hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's so nice to be within walking distance, I will say, because that's just it. We were at Old Key West one time and we did have to drive back and it was really challenging. I'm not sure what's better or worse though. If you're going to stay in the parks a little past New Year's, I might consider on-site transportation. Because then let those crowds clear out and then you can go with that. But it's a challenging situation all around. I think what you need to take is an extra dose of patience with you because it can get wonky no matter what you choose to do.
You don't need an extra dose of patience. You need to like overdose on patience that night, man. It's
you need a backpack full of patience.
That makes sane people want to kill people. I mean, I've seen like people that are the most mild-mannered. you know, like go with the flow. Oh, Disney's all, you know, they you can't rattle them. But then you catch them on New Year's Eve and they're just like, you know, they're like one step away from like a life sentence. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's like, come on.
Oh, yeah. It brings out, I'll tell you what, the holidays bring out the best in people and they bring out the worst in people. Yep. And thankfully, the best is overwhelming, you know, overwhelms the worst. But I have seen the most wicked behavior on holidays at one of the Disney parks. And I think, well, that's not very Christmassy or whatever holiday seems to be going on. What? So anyways, it's fun.
All right.
The anarchy. That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, man, it's about the experiences. If you go down in September, you got to go on New Year's Eve sometime just to keep the universe in balance, because it's not fair to only see the parks empty. Not that they're ever empty anymore. But they used to be. Anyway, let's get to the sponsor of today's show because we're wrapping it up. That's virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Days to Go, WDW, and Theme Park News Disney Edition. Both great apps to have on your iOS device. I'm looking at my app, 14 Days to Go. I see a great picture of the Tree of Life. I cannot wait. 2 weeks, we hit the road and head down for some fun at the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend. Been missing that one the last couple of years. Can't wait to run 13.1 and 3.1 with lots of friends. And this app gets me excited every time I look at my phone. Theme Park or Days to Go, WDW, and Ricky's favorite app. I know, because Ricky's always all over this app. I was looking at it earlier today, and it's like Ricky, WDW Magic, Ricky. Right. You're all over that thing. So it's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. You want to know what's going on? Star Wars, boom, there's going to be a celebration at Disney Springs. I know that because I read it on Theme Park News Disney Edition. You know what? Everything that's going on, it's your one stop. And the best part about this is it's free. So get it right now. Drop by virtualmickey.com today. Support the folks who support us. Great apps. Again, virtualmickey.com. Join us on Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And also make your plans to join us on Halloween. We're going to have all day and all night with Boo to You, Happy Hallowishes, and more. It's your Halloween soundtrack. It's a tradition on our station. All day and all night on Saturday, October 31st. Turn on Magical Mouse Radio and have some fun with us. I'll be DJing live for part of the day, so make sure you're part of that. And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at BRGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. And join the friendliest forums on the internet at BRGuestPodcast.com/forums. And for those planners in the crowd, and I know that we have a lot of planners, the next Be Our Guest Podcast live show will come your way on Sunday night, November 15th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, time to get out of here, and we will be back on Friday, where we're going to talk to an author here in the Disney community about running and Walt Disney World both. We're going to mix them up because it's almost the beginning of the Run Disney race season for 2015-2016. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. Keep working hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.